KJ and Lyons go until 5 a.m. What were we thinking when we had this conversation earlier this afternoon, John? But who cares? The Celtics are champions! Yeah!
Oh, this is already my favorite radio show ever.
It is, and not because we're both on it. But here's
Banner 18, KJ. Yeah,
that's right. Keep that Geno time going there. Keep that going, because that is the modern day cigar, right? Where you can't smoke in any buildings anymore. That's the modern day cigar. So can I do my best Red Auerbach impersonation? Luka Doncic's had a hell of a series. Ah, I'm sorry. 106-88. Celtics win 4-1. 18th championship banner.
Another quiet night for Kyrie Irving, too. Like, this was the Celtics, all three games in Boston, he struggled. And that was a huge part of this series as well. And I know all the other Kyrie stuff, right? Like, everybody in Boston hates him and they're glad. But, I mean, just from a pure basketball standpoint,
it didn't matter.
The Mavs weren't going to win this series unless he was a top two player, a top three player in the series. And he was an afterthought in all three games in Boston.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is, the one game that he did shine, Luka kind of messed that whole thing up for them. So, look, there was just, what we said before going into the series is, if there was a team that was backcourt dependent, they were going to be trouble going up against the Celtics no matter who they were. Because that's where all the defensive strength lies, is those defenders who can rotate. Even seeing Tatum rotating over on Luka just to put some type of length on him. Helped the cause greatly. So you can't sit there and say Luka had a really good series. He didn't. I mean, I don't care if you score 30 virtually in every game. If you're not winning those games, nobody cares. That's why I did the Red Auerbach to Jerry West. Jerry West was amazing in the series, but he doesn't have this trophy right here. Luka Doncic was amazing. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Luka averaged 29-8-5, which
Luka was amazing.
It's good, and he shot 47% for the series. But like I said, in the first three games, he was horrible defensively. Fouls out of game three. And then, as I mentioned earlier, his shooting got worse as games went on. Like, that's a huge problem, and that's a big part of the reason. And look, I think the Celtics are the better team. They were going to probably win they were going to win the series anyway. But his fading in games and his bad defense, I mean, the first three games of the series, he was on track to set, I think, a record in blow-by percentage on defense. Like, he was terrible.
What is that percentage called?
So when guys get blown by on drives. Yeah. But he was on pace to literally
set... we're in the blue hours here. Luka Doncic's had a wonderful game. Like,
he was on pace to set a record. And that's how bad he was. The Celtics were targeting him. And he was better defensively in game four, but we're talking a guy who played one good defensive game out of five? So the numbers are good. I won't take that away from him. And he was great in game four, but I mean, he wasn't up to the final stage. Not his all-around game.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're 1 minute away from Jason Tatum's post-game presser. Let's go to Adrian calling all the way from San Fran. Adrian, welcome to KJ and Lyons. And we're here to five.
Hey, King!
There you go.
Listen, boys, I was bartending in Quincy, Massachusetts when the big three, when Pierce and Garnett and the boys and Dele Rajan and whatever he done after that, it was the best fucking thing ever. And I was there when...
Had to drop him.
Yeah, he blew the bunny. Let's go to Jason Tatum. Champion Jason Tatum. Doesn't it feel so good to hear that? Champion.
You know what's cool is, like, you hear that press conference, and I've felt this way for most of this season. You can feel the growth in him as a leader over the years. Like, just some of the – when he talked earlier, it was still my favorite thing he said all season, and this was probably 3 months ago now, maybe four, when he talked about last year they wanted almost fast forward to the finals and just get there. And he's like, this year – we knew we couldn't skip any steps, and we weren't going to skip any steps, and they didn't. And I just, like, at that moment, again, that was 4 months ago, I'm like, wow, that's real growth right there as a leader. And we saw it throughout the playoffs when he's like, okay, even when they lost game two against Miami, he's like, you know, we're going to be fine. We're going to get through it. You know, we're going to bounce back. And they did. Same thing when they lost against Cleveland. Same thing when they lost to Dallas in game four as well. And it's something that it's been really cool to see. And I think you've seen – both Jalen and Jason grow as leaders, right, even though they don't have exactly the same personality, right? Like, Tatum's a little bit more laid back. Brown's got a little bit more of an edge. And I think that pairs so well together. And that growth together has been really cool to see.
Well, I think it's such a great story because those guys clearly have expressed out loud that they need each other. And that they've all, because when darts have been thrown, it's been thrown at both of them. When praise has been heaped, sometimes it's been separated. And so now there can't be any question of who is who and what is what. Go back to the Eastern Conference Finals when Jaylen Brown is named Eastern Conference MVP. And just the reaction from the entire team, it was like, boom, something like it's popped. They always knew it.
Yep.
But now everybody else had to discuss it in a different way because they were so used to saying, is it Tatum or Brown? Remember even Jason Kidd trying after game one? He said, well, you know, I actually think Jaylen Brown is his best player. It was that last ditch attempt to try and push the narrative of saying, well, those two can't coexist. I don't know if you noticed, but on the post game of tonight's, the end of the game, they cut to Jason Tatum's face again. Like, okay, are we still got the mad face at the grassy knoll thing? Because that's absolute bullcrap. And that's why I really appreciate what Jason Tatum said at the very beginning of that press conference. Yeah, I remember all the you guys talked about me because a lot has been said. But you know what you got to say right now? He's an NBA champion, and 18 is going to the Raptors, baby.
Yeah, you got it. 2024.
617-779-7937. Text line 37937. KJ and Lions going till 5 a.m. We're getting closer to it. Plus, I'm staying away from the candy bar. I'm scared that if I eat this candy bar here, John, I'll crash.
Yeah, so eat it at 4:20 a.m.
Eat it at 4:20 a.m. and give me that little boost, and then I'll fall asleep going home. No, I'm totally kidding. We'll hear from Joe Mazzulla next. We still have to hear from Derek White, Al Horford, Jalen, Drew. All of that's happening here live on WEEI. It's time to trend. KJ and Lions live WEEI. We're live because the Celtics have won number 18! 106-88. Celtics win the series against the Mavs, 4-1. Jaylen Brown, the MVP of the series, 2 series back-to-back. You know, it's interesting, John, when I think about this. Is the league ready for a mass marketing campaign of two guys on the same? This could be, and don't get me wrong when I say Jordan and Pippen, but when I say two guys that are elite in the league on the same team, now getting, because they're kind of like a fire and ice, if you will, you know, where Jaylen Brown's got a little bit of fire and passion about the things and he will say these outwards. And then, Jason Tatum is kind of the cool one. Do you co-brand these guys together? Do you there's so many things like that. It's just driving people crazy. You know that here's LeBron about to go through his 48th coach, right? And Jason and Jaylen are about to become the faces, co-face of the league, right? Like, it, because of Jaylen Brown winning both the MVP in the Eastern Conference and the NBA title, you cannot separate the two. There's no more separating of the two when the conversation happens.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, 8 years ago or 9 years ago, Steph and Klay, right? Like on the Warriors. You know, they weren't exactly the same personality. Klay feels like he's got a little bit more of that edge to him, but every once in a while that edge comes out of Steph too. And Steph maybe is the more marketable personality, but they were always linked as the Splash Brothers, and Klay was a little quieter too, but it was always, again, especially because they started winning together, they always had that connection and that like linkage from a marketing standpoint.
All right, we're about 2 minutes away from Joe Mazzulla's presser. It's just going to be great to hear. Just the, I love the term that Wick was talking about at the post game, the trophy presentation, about the word expectations, which is great because, like, if you go to marriage counseling, one of the best marriage counseling things is to have no expectations. What do you mean? Hey, just let them be the best them they can be. And that's what was needed from this team. Remember last year we were kind of wondering if Marcus Smart was questioning Joe Mazzulla out loud. You remember that stuff?
Yeah, I'm proud of Joe for always learning.
Right, like, yo, like that's like, that me. Like, that's like calling my father by his first name to his face. Like, Al, will you want something? Like, no, I'm your father.
Yeah.
And so you felt like, man, that was just a sign of, like, does Joe have control over the team? But you realize that Joe wasn't looking for control over the team. He was really looking for control of these players over themselves. Yeah. And he got it. And that is what's so key. 37937. Jacob, what you got on the text line?
I've got plus 650, Jaylen Brown MVP.
There you go. Won some money.
We know who dinner is on or who the drinks will be on Friday when the duck boats fire up. Friday or Saturday. There's no official confirmation yet. Just have one of those 2 days. I mean, if it's Saturday, what? Boston will be open from 5 a.m. to like 5 a.m. the next morning.
I know. We'll be back Sunday morning.
Will we be here Sunday morning?
No, we'll make it. We'll make it.
Next text.
If we know anything about you two guys, you guys will be there on Sunday morning. Also, Joe Mazzulla will be our version of Eric Spoelstra, agreeing with your take lines.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that. And I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse here, but it's a similar idea of guy who worked his way up, younger coach, dealt with superstars as a young coach. I mean, let's not forget, there was a time in 2011 where some of those Heat superstars wanted Spoelstra to go, and Pat Riley said, no, he's staying.
LeBron, it was.
Yeah, and LeBron. It ended up working out great. Spoelstra's one of, if not the best coaches in the NBA. And Mazzulla, thankfully for him, didn't really have to deal with that much. I mean, he got the disrespect from Smart last year a little bit, but it wasn't like Jaylen and Jason were like, oh, this guy needs to go. So they've grown together, and I think he's going to be here for the long haul. And I also think, you know, just look at Mazzulla, just the coach. In round one, I thought he got outcoached in game two, and other than that, he held his own against Eric Spoelstra. He was the better coach in round two. In round three, he went against Rick Carlisle, championship coach. He was the better coach in the Eastern Conference Finals, and he was the better coach in the NBA Finals. I mean, this dude coached, and I know the Celtics have all this talent, I get it, but he coached really well all playoffs long, and he outcoached the guys across from him most of the time.
Well, I think the thing is, and this is what was going on early with Mazzulla, it felt like the guys were getting away from playing defense in the early days. I used to call them the 120 Celtics, where they were like, watch us score 120. And it's just like, no, I would rather see you score 104, 106, and hold the opponent to about 102. That shows a great defensive effort. And what do you ended up seeing over time? I was just saying this last week. I mean, we witnessed Joe Mazzulla week by week just get better as a coach this year. None of the mistakes that you were seeing last year or the little nitpicking that people were doing. And it was fair. I will say it was fair because the discipline that MA was able to get out of those guys to get them to the NBA Finals was superb. And you were wondering like, okay, are these guys going to kind of let their foot off the gas? Joe was an end of the bench guy. He's one of Brad's guys. Our guy is no longer here. And there were still questions about if he was even going to be back. Remember, it wasn't known if MA was going to be back until they said that he wasn't going to be back. So there was just all these things hanging in the air. And I think that's only going to benefit Joe Mazzulla in the long term because he knows what it's like to get the midnight hour call to get it, come to a job, right? He knows what it's like to lose it. He knows what it's like to lose in an embarrassing way. And now he knows what it's like to win, and that's all happened in a span of, 2 years?
Yeah, and I think, go back to training camp this year, and he made some comments about defense, and it starts with defense, and he even addressed, like, you know, I've changed some things and learned some things about timeout usage and all that. And again, all these things that he was criticized for last year, he addressed and improved this year. And like I said, I mean, he outcoached Rick Carlisle. He outcoached Jason Kidd on the biggest stage in the NBA. I mean, take the talent of the teams out of it. The Celtics outcoached those teams in back-to-back series to win a championship.
Yeah, Joe Mazzulla is at the presser right now. All right, well, we'll hear from Porzingis later on here in the show. It's just truly amazing, John. 617-779-7937, KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. We're going to 5 o'clock. So it's kind of amazing there's still only 3 hours left. So we're almost like, we're like 3 hours in and like 3 hours left. Is Joe Mazzulla there saying, and something very key, and I think it's kind of curbed some of the anxiety this year, is people are going to tell you they suck. They're going to tell you that you love them, but you need both. And I think that's a really great way of understanding and probably helping the players. Because remember, Tatum got there, all the issue talked about me, but he's like, well, you know, people are going to say this, people are going to say that. You need both so that way you can get to an understanding of what it is you really are.
Yeah, and that's something Tatum has talked about this postseason multiple times. I think it was during the Cleveland series when he was talking about how, you know, sometimes he doesn't agree with everything in the media, but he also understands that the media helps make the game as popular as it is, so he doesn't want to get too caught up in it, even the stuff he disagrees with. And I thought, that's a good mindset to have, especially for a Celtics team that all year has been one of, if not the number one favorite.
Right. You know
I mean, like, we sat here in October saying, well, Celtics and Denver are probably the two favorites, right? Going into it. And then all year was Celtics and Denver, Celtics and Denver. And then once Denver got eliminated, it was Celtics, and they're the favorite. And so if you're the favorite, sometimes it can be tough to fully keep your eye on the ball if there's so much noise around you and so much stuff going on. And I think Mazzulla's personality, and like, I know Mazzulla, especially in these press conferences, he comes off sometimes a little bit like out there. Mm. But I think that personality fits coaching a team like that's a favorite that also is really, I guess, selfless is really the word, really invested in winning. That's the right personality to have in the head coach, because he can push them when he needs to push them, but then he can also say, hey, people are going to say good things, people are going to say bad things. It doesn't change what you have to show up and do every day for work.
You know, it's called the intelligent idiot sleight of hand trick, where you're really preaching a lot of intelligence and some people are going to try and catch up on things and go, I don't understand most of the stuff he's saying. The intelligence just showed up tonight in what happened in these playoff series. Think back to that Indiana series when the team's down 18 and he's got them calm saying, we're going to walk these guys down. Or calling that key timeout in game three where it was 9-2. And Mazzulla's like, let me call a timeout right here.
Yeah.
So there's that intelligence. While people may hang on to the kookiness or the oddballness to them, that's the bait you throw. So that way you're willing to take any of those hits to protect your players. It's a smart play. 617-779-7937. KJ Lyons. Sorja, what's up in Mansfield? We're celebrating 18 tonight, baby.
KJ Lyons, how we doing tonight?
Man,
doing 18. Great, man.
I'm firing up that 18 pack.
Listen, guys, I just got to give you kudos to the show because, you know, when I'm working, I'm listening to you during work and just, I'm always texting in, but I just can't really call in. But just really quick here, the couple of key takeaways for me is, first, number one, just that hug that Tatum gave to Mazzulla. I think that spoke so much volumes. And this team has been scrutinized so long, right? Like, Mazzulla can't coach. Oh, it's because of it. It's so funny because I felt like with this Celtics team, you always gave credit to someone to discredit someone else, right? So with Mazzulla, oh, it's because of the players, right? You would elevate Jaylen Brown to discredit Tatum, even though 2 years ago you're saying he can't finish with the left, right? And for me, what was just the best part of this moment was when Brown mentioned his running mate, Tatum, right? It was just brought everything that we knew for years where, you know, there may have been some disagreements in this past, but these guys are brothers. And then I'll just really quick, I'll end with this, is that, you know, you think about this journey, like on Twitter, a lot of Celtics fans were posting about how, like, you know, back in like 2014, 2015, we had guys like Jared Sullinger and Gerald Wallace. And to just be able to get here, I'm just so fortunate as a Boston sports fan. Like, you know, my dad came to this country from India. He first came to Jersey, right? And I'm thanking my lucky stars every day. He moved to Boston. Get the duck boats ready, KJ Lyons. Let's freaking go.
Quack, quack. It's time to get it up and put it up on the rack. 18, Sorja, man, thank you so much for the call. Always great to hear from you. You know, John, when you hear this conversation about kids who are going through COVID and school and stuff like that and graduations and so forth, you can almost apply this to this same team of all the different things that were going on. We had mentioned earlier on the show about when they were playing in the bubble. Remember, Jaylen Brown took the time himself to drive down to Atlanta to be part of some of the protests. And some people were kind of taking that a bit differently. But if you're looking at where things are today now, those guys got to be themselves to get to this point, right? Even the narrative with Jason Tatum being a father and openly being a father in situations where a lot of guys don't really share their kids like that. This is one of those teams, and you have a superstar who has his child out there front and center from day one. So these guys set a lot of great examples for what they do in their personal that becomes their social life. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think the caller's point about there was a tendency to build one guy up to peg another guy down or tear another guy down. Like, I think that's there's a lot of truth to that. And I feel like over the past 4 or 5 years...
It's societal.
It is societal, and even specifically with the Celtics, right? At first, it was, okay, blame everything on Kyrie, right? And I think a lot of that had merit to it, right? But then there was also the segment of people that were like, no, Kyrie's fine, it's the young guys. And then when Kyrie left, it was like, well, you know, Jaylen Brown has this edge. Tatum doesn't have this edge. Oh, but Tatum, he can score, and Jaylen Brown can't dribble with his left hand. And then, oh, this guy can do this. This guy can't do that. You know, or Marcus Smart, you know, he's not a real leader. Like, he can't do it. And we heard it time after time. Brad Stevens, you know, can't coach superstars, but it's okay because the Celtics don't have any superstars, right? Yeah. Like, we heard things like that time after time after time. And I think what's really been cool about this season, about this playoff run, is you saw in Justin Turpin, who joins us all the time, he's used the word connected. So many things on this team were connected. And the guys, it wasn't one of those fake connections. Like, you could tell the guys wanted to play together. They wanted to win a championship. They cared about each other. And I'm not naive. I'm not telling you they're all best friends. But, like, there's genuine care there for all their teammates, for their coaches, and vice versa. And that's something that's been, you know, really cool to see, especially because... And I feel like, KJ, you and I have probably had this discussion 10 times, but they were victims of their own success to an extent, right? So then they were getting scrutiny as 21-year-olds that usually it takes an 8-year vet to get that kind of scrutiny. But it's because they were in the Eastern Conference Finals multiple years that they were getting that scrutiny. Whereas, you know, you look at a guy, and I'm not, you know, trying to throw shade on anyone, but like SGA in Oklahoma City, I love him. I think he's a great player. But he hasn't accomplished in OKC what Tatum and Brown accomplished by the time they were his age, so he doesn't get quite as much scrutiny as those guys did here.
Yeah, but I think if you're talking about in terms of what, you know, where things are with the MVP voting and stuff like that, I think this was that year, and maybe even to part of last year, that Tatum just did not care whether he finished first or eighth. If it was, especially, yeah, I would say last year and this year, right? Because last year, and he even talked about it at the podium earlier, you felt like, okay, can we just fast forward to the end of the playoffs and get back to the finals again in 2023, and it didn't get there. So that wasn't even on the brain at that time. And then this year, I mean, you didn't hear anything mentioned about anything at all in terms of him finishing sixth. I mean, if you told me he was less of an MVP than Jalen Brunson was this year, I would say, we watching ABA games here? So that didn't matter. When you saw that that didn't matter, the real stuff could be concentrated on, and I'm glad these guys got it this time, because I don't know how devastating it would have been to these guys' psyche moving forward if they had lost this championship here. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, KJ and Lions live, till 5 a.m. We'll hear from Jaylen Brown next here on WEEI. KJ and Lions, WEEI. Yeah, the Celtics have just won number 18, baby. Defeat Dallas 4-1, 106-88. Jaylen Brown, the MVP. In fact, we'll go to Jaylen Brown here in 30 seconds. John, we'll talk to Justin Turpin right after 2 a.m. We are here to 5 a.m. Real quick, your thoughts on Jaylen Brown winning the MVP.
Yeah, I think it was well-deserved. And just, you know, quickly going back through my notes, I thought his three, the steal to dunk in game one, was the biggest play there. In game two, him and Derek White had that block, and he had the layup with 30 seconds left. Biggest plays of that game. Game three, his jumper with a minute left to go up by four. Biggest play of that game, and he was great again tonight. So really, really well-deserved for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, 617-779-7937. Text line, we'll get to your text as well, 37937. Here's Jaylen Brown. Wow. John, that's just absolutely touching. You just, you know, with all things that people have to say sometimes about NBA players, you can't say that about Brown. You can't say it about Tatum. And for them to be on champions on top of that, I could see the emotion for sure. These guys have been through a lot, but never lost their character, never lost their cool, never lost their compass, if they will. And all you can do is just really appreciate, like, are there two guys more deserving of getting a championship than anybody else in the league?
Yeah, and we mentioned, like, Missoula's mentality, and I think it carries over to the two of these guys, right? The right mentality to have, not just as basketball players, but as leaders. Like, a lot of credit there. And you notice early in his press conference that phrase, not skipping any steps came up from Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Right? That message, right? And it's not just a message. You could see they really lived it out this postseason. I mean, that, remember you and I did postgame after game two against Miami?
Well, I'll tell you what. And, we got it. We're
sorry,
up against
yeah,
the
yeah,
break.
Yeah, I know, I know. I'm just, a lot of people thought the sky was falling then. And
right.
The mentality, you know, it helped carry them through.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. Justin Turpin checks in from TD Garden. We'll talk to him, get a little Geno time with him, plus your text, 37937. Your call, 617-779-7937. Hour four next, the KJ and Lions live postgame. Celtics win banner 18. KJ and Lions, WEEI. Yeah, the Celtics have just won number 18, baby. Defeat Dallas 4-1, 106-88. Jaylen Brown, the MVP. In fact, we'll go to Jaylen Brown here in 30 seconds. John, we'll talk to Justin Turpin right after 2 a.m. We are here to 5 a.m. Real quick, your thoughts on Jaylen Brown winning the MVP.
Yeah, I think it was well-deserved. And just, you know, quickly going back through my notes, I thought his three, the steal to dunk in game one, was the biggest play there. In game two, him and Derek White had that block, and he had the layup with 30 seconds left. Biggest plays of that game. Game three, his jumper with a minute left to go up by four. Biggest play of that game, and he was great again tonight. So really, really well-deserved for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, 617-779-7937. Text line, we'll get to your text as well, 37937. Here's Jaylen Brown. Wow. John, that's just absolutely touching. You just, you know, with all things that people have to say sometimes about NBA players, you can't say that about Brown. You can't say it about Tatum. And for them to be on champions on top of that, I could see the emotion for sure. These guys have been through a lot, but never lost their character, never lost their cool, never lost their compass, if they will. And all you can do is just really appreciate, like, are there two guys more deserving of getting a championship than anybody else in the league?
Yeah, and we mentioned, like, Missoula's mentality, and I think it carries over to the two of these guys, right? Right mentality to have, not just as basketball players, but as leaders. Like, a lot of credit there. And you notice early in his press conference, that phrase, not skipping any steps, came up from Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Right. That message, right? And it's not just a message. You could see they really lived it out this postseason. I mean, that, remember you and I did postgame after game two against Miami?
Well, I'll tell you what, and, we got it. We're
sorry,
up against
yeah,
the
yeah,
break.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, a lot of people thought the sky was falling then. And
right.
The mentality, you know, it helped carry them through.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Justin Turpin checks in from TD Garden. We'll talk to him, get a little Geno time with him, plus your text, 37937. Your call, 617-779-7937. Hour four next, the KJ Lions live postgame. Celtics win banner 18.